You turn to the book of 1 John chapter 5. First John chapter 5, we're going to read verses 4 and 5. For everyone who has been born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. Who is it that overcomes the world except the one who believes that Jesus is the Son of God? Let's pray. Our Father, we come to your word now. Oh Lord, we desire to hear from you, that you would meet us, your people, that we would hear from you, that we would be changed, that we would be strengthened, that we would leave here different than when we came, for having met with our God. Would you open our hearts now to receive from you what you have for us this morning? We pray in Jesus' name, amen. Brothers and sisters, how can I encourage you today? How can I refresh your heart this morning? The verse that we just read states that Christians are overcomers. I wonder, have you ever really thought about that? We are overcomers. We are not the ones who are defeated. We're the ones who win. We're not the ones who fail. We are the ones who are victorious. Do you know that? Do you know that in Christ you overcome the world? Little old you, little old me. In Christ we overcome the world. That's what it says. And we can push that even further if we consider what Paul says in Romans chapter 8, 37. In all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. Now, that makes me wonder. We overcome the world, yes? But here we read that we are so much more than those who overcome. We are more even than conquerors. Well, if we are more than conquerors, then what are we? You ever think that through? We rejoice at that phrase, right? We're more than conquerors. Do you ever stop to think, well, what are we then, if we're more than conquerors? What does that mean? In Christ, what are we? That's a question worth asking. It's Christmas Eve tonight, of course, and we remember the one who came and conquered and made us what we are. Jesus, the Messiah, who came to secure forgiveness and eternal life for his people, to rescue us from death, through whom we have salvation. We remember him, born of a virgin, one of us. God with us. And he is the Prince of Peace. In him we have peace with God, not just those who overcome the world, but who are so much more. All right, let's look a little bit at that passage in Romans 8. Flip there in your Bibles, Romans 8, 37. Let's back it up, 35 to 39. Let's read that. Romans 8, pick it up in 35. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine, nakedness, danger or sword? As it is written, for your sake we are being killed all the day long. We are regarded as sheep to be slaughtered. No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am sure that neither death nor life, nor angels nor rulers, nor things present nor things to come, nor powers, nor height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Wow. So So we are more than conquerors throughout all those things. An overcomer, or a conqueror, defines himself by the battle. It's kind of baked into that name, conqueror, right? He has a sword in hand. He identifies himself as a warrior, a conqueror. He's looking back to the battle. This is who I am. I'm a conqueror. And so we are warriors, you and I. We have enemies, don't we? The world, the flesh, and the devil. Principalities and powers of this present darkness. We have to fight every day. You know that. We have to fight. Putting to death the things of the flesh, putting on the things of the spirit, finding that way of escape in times of temptation, bearing our burdens, helping to bear the burdens of others, just having your eyes open to see all the evil in this world. Oh yeah, we got to fight. And we are weary sometimes, and we carry the scars of past battles. All of this is true. But we are also more than conquerors. And so what does Paul point to in us having victory over that world? In the passage we just read, what's his focus? He mentions all those difficulties, right? All the trials and tribulations, the danger, nakedness and sword, principalities, powers, life and death, all of these things. Did he say that the victory was in no longer having those things in our life? No. He said that the victory was peace with God, that those things could not separate you from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. Now, what does that mean? It means this. Dear stressed brother or sister, when it comes to your welcome and your place at God's table, in God's house, you don't have to fight anymore. You can put your weapons down. You belong. You are welcome. You are more than a conqueror. You have the love of a heavenly Father. You are a son. You are a daughter who has come home, and the Father has set a place for you and called you to be in His presence. The days of battling God are over. We have many battles in this world, but we don't battle against God. In Christ, we are more than conquerors. We are sons and daughters, the beloved, invited to come and celebrate the kingdom. We are co-heirs. Christ is our brother. We have peace with God. Listen, some of you spend so much time worrying if God is angry with you, if maybe He hates you, or if He's just waiting for you to slip up the next time so He can get you again. And He can punish you, and you live in fear of what He's going to bring into your life next. Is that not true? And as a result, you don't know what it means to live as a son or a daughter of your Father in heaven. And you end up making the very mistake that Paul is trying to correct. Sometimes we believe, even though we wouldn't say it because this verse would contradict it, but we believe that distress and danger does separate us from the love of God. That the trial you are facing is evidence that God is out to get you. And we tremble in fear before what we think is an angry God. But that is the exact opposite of what the truth is. Paul says that those things, whatever trial you have, big or small, those things cannot, can in no way, and can never separate you from the love that God has for you in Christ Jesus. Do you see that? Do you see how we get that wrong? My heartache, my disappointment, whatever is hurting me, tempts me to think that God's against me. And Paul is trying to correct that way of thinking. It's not true. It's not true. Here's the message at Christmas. In Christ, there is now peace. There is goodwill toward man. What a goodwill. Are you kidding me? God is with us. He is the Prince of Peace. He has shared in our sorrows and in our pain and in our trials. He knows. He knows, and he gathers his people together, and he tells them, you can put your fears down. Now, you are more than conquerors here. You are sons and daughters. In this world, you will have trouble, oh yes. But take heart, I have overcome the world. And you are mine. We need to learn to rest before him, to put it all down and celebrate at his table. This is the faith that overcomes the world. That in the middle of our wilderness, we find a table that has been set for us, a table of peace. The Messiah has come and he has done it. On the cross, he has paid for your sin. He has conquered every foe you will ever face. God is not angry with you anymore. For those who are in Christ Jesus, he loves you and he is your Father. Do you know that? Can you rest in that truth? Can you celebrate in that truth? Or are you afraid of him? So this is our chance to put this faith into practice. The trials remain, of course. The troubles roll on. We all know that. But they do not separate you from the peace and the love of God. We need to stop cringing before him. You are welcome and invited and loved. You have peace with him. Come and celebrate. Put the weapons down and find rest in his presence. No more fighting. This Christmas, as you celebrate in whatever way that you do, you can put this into practice. For those who are in Christ, Christmas should be merry. We're a part of the family of God. So, the last 10 minutes was kind of the sermon. All the rest is application. It's a little bit like that today. What does a merry Christmas look like for those who actually know what it is? I'm going to give you three things to include in your festivities this year, whatever that looks like for you. You have to know who you are in Christ Jesus, the favor that God has for you. Think of it this way. Let's think of it on both sides of the coin. On one side, if you think that you are a failure, that there's no real hope, that God is somehow against you, and things are going to go bad in your life. If you think you are a failure, how does a person like that respond when a trial comes? I have no hope in my life. I'm not convinced God is for me. And a trial comes. How am I going to respond? On the other side, how does a son of God respond to a trial? One who has his favor and his love and his promise of working it together for good. How's that person going to respond to a trial? Those answers are absolutely opposite to one another. Know who you are. Your trials do not separate you from God. Are you separated from him or are you not? Know who you are. Therefore, the first thing that this kind of overcoming, resting and rejoicing faith looks like is an abundance of thanksgiving and praise. Thanksgiving and praise. We should be a people of exuberant thanksgiving and full of praise, always rejoicing. When was the last time that you were so filled with thanksgiving that you just burst out, like out loud, in praise to God? Has that ever happened to you? Have you done that? Now, we all know that we should be thankful, right? Be thankful in all circumstances. We know that. But do we actually put it into practice? I know that it's true. And sometimes I'll remind myself, but do I actually then take the next step and find things to be thankful for? Here's a little test. What do you think about most? What do you think about most? What occupies your mind? Are you occupied with God's amazing love towards you, or are you occupied with your problems? All too often I would fail my own test. I think about my problems. I think about the problems that tomorrow is going to have. I think about the things that I don't have, wish I had or wish I didn't have. And all too often I'm a complainer. Far from being a celebrator, I'm a complainer. Far from being full of thanksgiving, I'm full of worry. So here's the problem. I may go to the doctor, and I say, "Doc, my toe hurts, really hurts." And he says, "Oh, really? What happened?" And I say, nothing. It just hurts. Every time I kick the wall as hard as I possibly can, my toe hurts. I can't figure it out. What's the doctor going to say? Stop kicking the wall. What's the matter with you? Right? No wonder your toe hurts. Stop kicking the wall. I am depressed. Really? What happened? Nothing. I just spend all my time thinking about my problems and my disappointments and my failures and my weaknesses and my problems. Did I say that one already? And how bad everything is, and every time I think deeply about all of that and how things will never go right and God is against me and everything's bad in my life, I get depressed. I can't figure it out. I started this sermon by asking, how can I encourage you today? Here's my first answer. 1 Thessalonians 5:18. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Is it God's will for you to sit and dwell on your problems, the trials and tribulations, and to be miserable and to think that nothing's ever going to change or that you can't change, you'll never get out of it? Is that his will? No. No. What is his will for you? We just read it. How does your faith overcome? By giving thanks. That is his will for you. By giving thanks. Now, this Christmas, this is just so practical. This is your opportunity this very day, today and tomorrow. And then keep going, for that matter. But here's a chance to practice. Put the troubles down. Can you do that? Can you put them down, even for a day, for an afternoon? Pick up thanksgiving and praise. Be a son. Be a daughter of God. Pick up your faith and overcome. Don't just hear the word. Try it. Try it for real. Pick up your faith and overcome. Meditate on this thanksgiving. We are more than conquerors. We are celebrators, and we have so much to be thankful for. Don't kick the wall today. Don't kick the wall today. Don't do it. If I ask you what your biggest problems are, you will probably have them like that. Boom, 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 boom. And I say, what are you thankful for? And it should be the other way around. What are you thankful for? Boom, boom, boom. What are your problems? Well, I can tell you what. They don't separate me from the love of God. I can tell you that. Don't kick the wall. You belong, and his love for you doesn't change with the passing of the seasons, with the changing of the tides or the changing of the trials. Nothing changes. The second thing that an overcoming, more than conquering, celebrating, victorious faith looks like, to put into practice today, is joy and laughter. This is the natural outflowing from thanksgiving and praise, isn't it? It's a progression of how our faith overcomes, this overcoming faith. The psalmist says that the loving kindness of God is always before his eyes. How about that? Now, this is similar to what we were just saying. What is it that you keep before your eyes? What do you see when you look at the world, when you look at your life? What do you see? Do you see your troubles and the troubles of this world? And we need to put that off and put God's loving kindness before our eyes. That should be the lens through which we see the world. Now, that's a challenge because there's a lot of bad things going on in the world. And yet the psalmist says, your loving kindness is always before my eyes. That's what I see. That is the lens through which I interpret the world. Wow. That is the lens through which I interpret the world. The loving kindness of God. Do we see him that big? Or does he shrink when the troubles come? Now this would change everything, wouldn't it, to see his love? That is going to lead to thanksgiving and praise, which is going to lead to joy and laughter. We are more than conquerors. What are we? We are children of God who will live forever. We reign and we dwell under the care and kindness of the one true God. We are forgiven. We are free. Nothing can separate us from the love that God has for us in Christ Jesus. Nothing. Why would we, of all people, be reluctant to celebrate and be joyful? We're the only ones who have a reason to be happy, actually. It is the world that should be miserable. Christians have every reason to be joyful and to laugh often. Now, this meditation of the heart on the loving kindness of God, it leads to thanksgiving and praise, which leads to joy, which will lead to laughter. This meditation is the sanctification of celebration. I like that. It's not a mindless celebration filled with debauchery of all kinds and forgetfulness. It's not careless. It's a celebration that has content, it has remembrance, it has delight, it has faith, it has a conviction of the heart, a faith that overcomes the whole world, the principalities and powers of the present darkness. God has given us a path through, and it is through thanksgiving, and it leads to joy. We delight ourselves in God, being thankful in all circumstances. 2 Corinthians 4:15 says that the gospel is for your sake, so that thanksgiving might increase to the glory of God. The goal of the gospel is the glory of God through increased thanksgiving. That's how it's done. You want to glorify God? Be thankful in your trials. How much sense does that make? No sense unless you have a God who is greater, unless you have a God whose loving kindness is greater. The goal of the gospel is the glory of God through increased thanksgiving. We should be striving for more thanksgiving, more joy, richer celebration, and a whole lot more laughter. We often try to muster up joy in our life, try to create some joy by, at Christmas time anyway, putting up our lights and our trees and having our eggnog and giving the gifts and all of that. And all too often we end up full of belly and empty of soul, because we're doing it backward. We can't muster up any true joy by these material things. Stuff does not overcome the world, does it? Faith does. Then we can use these things, these decorations, the pretty lights and all of that, to express the joy that is already in us, the joy that comes from thanksgiving, from seeing the loving kindness of God in every circumstance. And we see the hand of God everywhere we look, then we are free to celebrate. We are safe to laugh. Safe to laugh. Sometimes we're afraid to be happy because we fear that sadness is just around the corner. And I'm afraid of the disappointment. If I allow myself to be happy, then when the disappointment comes, the fall is too great for me. But we are safe to be happy. We are safe to be joyful. We are safe to laugh. Why? Because our joy isn't in the stuff of this world, and our joy isn't in our circumstances. It is in God, and nothing changes His love that He has for you. You are safe to rejoice, whatever the circumstances are. There is no sadness here that can come within a million miles of the joy of the Lord, which is our strength. None of those trials that you face can separate you from the love of God for you in Christ Jesus. You are safe to be happy. He has overcome. He is the King, and His promises are sure. Are we really so easily thrown off of our joy? So, brothers and sisters, how can I encourage you today? I encourage you with this. Remember who you are, and learn this discipline of thanksgiving, and let it lead you to the fountains of joy, and drink deep. It's Christmas, the Savior has come, and there is goodwill toward man, and that is news of great joy. The Savior is here. It's no longer a promise, it's a promise fulfilled. We're on the other side. It is done, it is finished, and we see it with the eyes of faith, And this is what overcomes the world. Though the storm rages, we should hear the pure, joyful laughter of the church rising above the storm clouds in celebration, for we are sons and daughters of the King. And He has taken away all of our shame and all of our guilt, and we are welcome before Him. The third thing that overcoming faith looks like, that you can put into practice today, tomorrow, flowing from thanksgiving and praise through the channels of joy and laughter, is feasting and fellowship. That's the third one. Feasting and fellowship. That's where it goes for us who are more than conquerors, to the feast, right? Together. We can't keep all of this inside or just to ourselves. We're not meant to go through life alone. It needs to flow to others. Above all other peoples, Christians should know how to feast and celebrate together. I don't overcome alone, as if I was some sort of hero. No, Christ is the hero. He is the author and perfecter of this overcoming faith for us all. He's the head of the body, of this body, church. So we need to learn to celebrate together because we are the bride, the family of God. We make much of Him and we don't do it secretly. It overflows into celebrating with one another. The same Christ who died for me died for you. We are one. We are part of one body, one faith, one baptism, and one great celebration. We are headed to the wedding supper of the Lamb. And we are headed there together all the way home. All the way home. We need to learn how to celebrate in feasting and fellowship. So do you know what an overcoming faith looks like? For those who no longer have God as their enemy, but as their friend. For those who live under His approval and His love. Well, it looks like gravy. Mashed potatoes and ham, turkey and pie, heaped up high on a table that is surrounded with people who are filled with thanksgiving and praise, joy and laughter. Christians are not to be gluttons and drunkards around the table, but we are to know how to feast and celebrate together, and you can put this into practice. It's this practice of abundance, rejoicing in the abundant grace of God by pouring out abundance around your table and inviting your people to come and celebrate the goodness of God. Whatever burdens you bring into my home, none of them separate you from the love of God in Christ Jesus. Come and rest. Put it down. By faith, we will overcome together. And we will laugh, even though there be tears. We are safe to do so. We celebrate the God who has saved us from death. That is a worthy celebration. He is worthy of our abundance. Like the woman who comes to Jesus, right? And she breaks open the alabaster jar and she pours it out over His feet. Abundance. Wasteful. And yet not wasteful at all, is it? And Jesus blessed it and He said this just amazing statement. Wherever the gospel is proclaimed, what she has done will be told in memory of her. Wherever the gospel is proclaimed, well, where's that? Everywhere. Everywhere. To the ends of the earth, throughout the whole world, for all time, her abundance is remembered and honored. Because she did it out of love for Christ. She had an overcoming faith, and it was showed in her lavish treatment of Christ, not selfishly, but unselfishly for Him. Our celebrations in Christ ought to be worthy of remembrance. We ought to learn how to do that. Celebrations that are worthy of remembrance, and our children should never forget. Our children should never forget our days of celebration. The joy of the Lord should be poured out to overflowing in their young hearts as they come to see the loving kindness of their God and learn the joy of the Lord, which will be their strength when it's their turn to stand in their generation. What a mighty weapon is the table. What a mighty weapon is celebration. Right in the middle of the wilderness, right in the presence of the enemies, right in the middle of your trials and your tribulations, and you put it down and you celebrate. And it does not matter how little you may have to celebrate with. It doesn't matter. When Marcel and I first got married, we were very young and we were very broke. And the running joke in the church at that time was, how are Chad and Marcella going to make it? And the answer was, they're going to live on love and crackers. And so we did. And it was awesome. I would do it again in a heartbeat. What a feast we had those early years. It was awesome. The widow who gave the two mites gave more than all the abundance of the Pharisees. Remember, it's not the stuff, it's the faith that overcomes. How can I encourage you today? I encourage you with this. From hearts of thanksgiving and joy, set your table accordingly. Gather your people around it, and before the Lord, let the joy and laughter and feasting commence. We are more than conquerors. We are celebrators. And we overcome the world by our faith. God is with us right here, right now, no matter what you face. This is how we overcome. Now, we still have our battles, of course. We have our enemies. We continue on in this world as we work out salvation with fear and trembling. Principalities and the powers, the world, the flesh, and the devil. Yeah. You got a fight coming. Tell you that. You decide to celebrate, you got a fight coming. And we battle back in all kinds of ways. Through prayer and the word, the spiritual disciplines, through the church, yes and amen. But one way to overcome that you must not forget is to know how to put down your troubles. Stop kicking the wall. Receive the love of God in Christ Jesus and celebrate. This is your chance to put it into practice. It's Christmas. And once you start to practice a little bit and you get a bit of a hang of it and say, oh, this is actually working, you're suddenly going to realize God invites you to do that every 7 days, not just once a year. Once a week, he says, come. Come to my table, put it down, and overcome. Overcome by your rejoicing. Stop kicking the wall. Have his loving kindness always before your eyes. Look to the author and perfecter of our faith. See the joy that is set before you. And learn the grace of coming into his presence with thanksgiving. And the devil's schemes against you will be undone. You will overcome, for the joy of the Lord will be your strength. What can the devil do against the joy of Christians? Ha! What can the devil do against the joy of Christians who go singing to their martyrdom? Christians who know the meaning of Christmas. It marks the overthrow of Satan and the crushing of his head. And so we raise a glass in the middle of our days and we cheer, and by so doing we say, take that, Satan. And we laugh and we say, take that. We overcome. We train our children to overcome. We pour some extra gravy on the potatoes and we say, take that. I will rejoice in God my King. And though the storm cloud rages, all of heaven and hell will hear me laugh, for no storm separates me from the love of God. And I'm safe. I'm free. And I can rejoice. So pass the gravy. Our joy is not lessened in the trials, although our pain increases. They have no power over us anymore. By our faith, we overcome. Thanksgiving and praise, joy and laughter, feasting and fellowship. This makes a Christian Christmas truly merry. Our faith does not just conquer, it does more. We are more than conquerors, we are celebrators. So how can I encourage you today? By telling you that Jesus is Lord. He is King. And of his reign there shall be no end. And though you suffer now, the day is coming. Oh yes, it is coming. when he will wipe away every tear from your eye. And death shall be no more. Nor shall there be any crying or mourning or pain anymore. He is making all things new, and no one can stop him. Jesus is Lord. At Christmas, we remember the story, and we realize that we are a part of the story. It's still being written right now, our chapter. It's not an old story, it's a new one. It's fresh. It's being told right now. Our chapter is being written right now, and what is it going to say of us? Oh, they were a miserable lot who could never get out of their own way, and their faith faltered in the day of their visitation. No. No. May it be said that the people of this generation, this people, those in this room, oh, they knew how to celebrate their God, these sons and daughters of the King. They were filled with the faith that overcomes in thanksgiving and praise, in joy and laughter, in feasting and fellowship, and they raised the glass together, and with one voice they shouted, "Hail the incarnate deity! Jesus, our brother, is with us, and he is Lord." So may it be said of us, and so may it be said of you. Merry Christmas.